So I'm very happy to be back here speaking to you today, and I want to thank Jeff and Nathan for the excellent job you both did covering for me on those Sundays. And back to our topic, which, you know, we started this topic on prayer a year ago. And you're thinking, well, how can you possibly talk about prayer for a year? Well, I can, and I do. And here's the thing. There's even more to say about it. And today, we really get into something that is integral and very exciting about Christian prayer, and an aspect of prayer that has absolutely changed the way I bring my petitions and my asking prayer to the Lord. And I'm in high hopes that I will be able to convert what the Spirit has taught me and the conviction that He has brought to me on this topic to you today, because I know that you will be tremendously blessed by what the Spirit has to say. And the topic of our discussion is praying in the Spirit, because if you refer to your devotional in the back there in the verses, you'll see that Ephesians 6:18, what Paul says about this, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. So Paul says here in Ephesians that when you pray, you should pray in the Spirit. And you should be diligent about this. And anytime you intercede for somebody, you need to pray in the Spirit. So what does that mean, to pray in the Spirit? And that's what we're going to try and figure out today with the Holy Spirit's help. Luke 10, 38 to 40. Jesus was traveling about, and he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, this is, whose home is this? Martha, who's her sister? Mary, who's their brother? Lazarus, exactly. So isn't this interesting when you read these stories that this is how this relationship began with Jesus and with Martha and Mary and Lazarus? And so he enters, Martha welcomes him, invites him to her house for dinner. And she had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked Jesus, she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And here's the money phrase for us, this last sentence. So tell her to give me a hand. Martha is trying to put a meal together for Jesus and apparently some of the disciples, because as they were traveling about. So there's a group here coming into the home, and Martha is preparing a meal, yet Martha is totally overwhelmed. Martha has to put the meal together, but she's not up to the task. And so she comes to Jesus and she says, tell Mary to help. What's this got to do with praying in the Spirit? Everything. Because what the word that Martha uses here, help, is only used one other time in the entire New Testament. And that is used by Paul when he talks about the Spirit helping us pray. And the Greek word, synantilimbamo, is the Greek word. And it translates like this. Here's what Martha really said to Jesus about Mary's help. Tell her, she says to Jesus, tell her to help me by having her take hold of her end of the task. Martha's overwhelmed. She needs help. She uses this word for help, which means tell her, Mary, to help me by taking hold of her end of the task. Martha's overwhelmed. Martha's given something that she can't handle. This is our dilemma in praying. We're Martha. We're given a task and we're commanded to pray. We're advised to pray. We're told to pray. And yet, at the same time, prayer is an overwhelming task for us. Prayer is something that we need, like Martha, because Martha's distracted and Martha's overwhelmed. And I, like, if you're like me at all, in my praying, many times I am distracted and I am overwhelmed. So how do we deal with this prayer? How do we pray in the Spirit? And what has this got to do with this word, synantelembamo, this Greek word that is only used twice in the entire New Testament? Paul uses it here in Romans 8, 26 to 29, where he gives us his seminal teaching on prayer and praying in the Spirit and what it means to pray in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings, and He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What's going on here? To understand this verse, you have to understand what Romans chapter 8 is about. And I debated whether I was putting the cart before the horse when I was to present this part of Romans 8. Because Romans 8 is all about the Spirit's help for the Christian who is presently crawling between the beast and the angels. This Romans 8 is about how the Spirit helps all of us with the burdens and the disappointments of life. Because we are saved, but we still live in a chaotic world. We are God's people, but we're not yet home safe and dry. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit, when he says here, in the same way the Spirit also joins to help, he's coming off of the other things in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit does to help us. Because here's what Paul says in a thumbnail sketch of Romans chapter 8 of what the Spirit does for us. First of all, the Spirit allows us and enables us to submit to God's law. The Spirit also is going to be responsible for bringing life to our mortal bodies. The Spirit also, Paul says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. Paul says the Spirit testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. Paul says that the Spirit makes us aware of our inheritance, that we are children of God, and if so, we're heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. The Spirit, Paul also says, testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. All of the things that the Spirit does in Romans chapter 8, now mark this well, are in tandem and in conjunction with us. We join. The Spirit joins us. We work with the Spirit. The Spirit works with us, and He does it to help us in the ambiguities of Christian living. all of the things that we are called to do and deal with, and the burdens and the disappointments. And as Shakespeare said, we are crawling between the beast and the angels. And during this crawling period, doesn't it feel like that? Doesn't that just nail it? You see, God did not leave us like Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to help you. The Spirit is going to lead you into all truth. The Spirit is going to teach you. So make note well that when Paul talks about the Spirit and prayer, the Spirit helps us pray in the same way that the Spirit comes to help in all of the other things that we have to and should do as God's people. The Spirit also joins to help in our what? In our weakness. Now, the Spirit is helping us with a lot of weaknesses because I have a raft of weaknesses that I need the Spirit's help with. And Paul says here, this is the last thing that he talks about, the Spirit's ministry for God's people. He says, now there's another weakness that you have. One of the weaknesses he talks about earlier in Romans chapter 8 is our inability to submit ourselves to God's law. We are unable to do so, Paul says. But the Spirit enables us to submit to God's law. So you see, there's a weakness that the Spirit comes and fills in the gap for us. Here's another weakness for all of God's people, myself supremely. And Paul says, now here's the weakness that the Spirit's also going to help you with. The Spirit's also going to help you with the weakness about prayer. Because you're weak. What is the weakness in prayer? That we don't spend the time to do it? No, the weakness in prayer that Paul is talking about is our ignorance. Our ignorance in prayer. That we don't know what to pray. You see, here's our weakness and here's the ignorance in prayer. Do we really know our real needs as God sees them? Do we really know the needs? Because God knows my needs very well, and He knows your needs very well. But I'm not sure, and Paul confirms that I know. And we heard prayer requests this morning. Do I really know what God sees as the real need in those prayer requests? Paul says, no, you don't. You don't know what the real need is. And number two, do we know what God's will is for those needs? So the Spirit comes along and joins to help in our ignorance about the things that we don't know. We don't know how to pray. Paul says that's absolutely clear. But the Spirit himself, Paul says, the Spirit himself, not a surrogate, not anybody else, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us in two ways. Now, when the Spirit intercedes, he's interceding for me, for Tim Davis, and my needs that God sees. And he's also interceding for Tim Davis as far as how I pray for you. Do you see that? It's both ways. The Spirit intercedes for my needs, and then the Spirit also intercedes for you when I pray for you. The Spirit comes and helps in that weakness also. How does he do it? He does it with unspoken groanings. And he who searches the heart, God, the Father, knows the Spirit's mindset because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I'm going to unpack this. There are three persons involved when we pray. Three entities, three personalities. Number one, we the weak ones. We the ones who pray. Number two, that's one personality. Number two personality is the indwelling Spirit. The Spirit that you have. The Spirit of God. The Spirit that is in you. God the Spirit. is number two person involved. Number three is God the Father. You see, prayer is a Trinitarian activity. You see this? We are not left to pray on our own because we can't, because we don't know how to pray, because I don't really know my needs. I don't really know your needs as God sees it, but the Spirit does. And so I pray in my ignorance and in my weakness, even though I think I know. And then the Spirit joins, and then God the Father listens. Prayer is Trinitarian. Prayer is three persons teaming up together to make an asking, a petitionary request to God the Father. And of these three actors in Paul's prayer production, he zeroes in on and emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit in our praying. What does the Spirit do when we pray? Number one, he helps in our weakness. He helps in the weakness. Paul says, you've got a lot of weaknesses as God's people. The Spirit helps you with all of them. The Spirit is not leaving you on your own. You are not just shoved out into the world as God's people to do the best you can and to be these image bearers and to live as God would have us live. No, the Spirit comes along to help. And here's the last weakness that the Spirit is going to help you with. The Spirit is going to help you with the weakness that you demonstrate in prayer. And how does he do it? Well, he comes along and he joins and helps in our weakness, number one. What else does he do? He intercedes for us and through us. The Spirit intercedes for us and through us. And number three, he intercedes according to God's will. And here's the thing. God will listen. And God will respond. You may think you don't have to pray. You may think that it's just all up to the Spirit. You may think, well, God knows already, so I'm not called upon to do anything. No, that is not true. Look at the wording here. In the same way, the Spirit also joins. The Spirit comes to join. We pray. The Spirit shows up and joins when we pray. If we don't pray, note well, if you don't pray, the Spirit has nothing to join. Everything else in Romans chapter 8 that Paul says the Spirit helps us with, we are involved with. If you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, Paul says, if you do something by the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You see, we need to pray. You need to specifically bring to God your issues. And when the Spirit does, when the Spirit hears that, he joins. The Spirit doesn't show up. It's like if you were to join something and you go to participate and to join and you get there and there's nobody there and there's nothing happening. There's nothing to join. It is incumbent on you and on me to get on our knees and bring the petitions to God and name those people that have been that are on your heart and name the issues that are on your heart. And when you do that, the Spirit will join and pray with you. Isn't that a comforting thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? You see, the Spirit prays and intercedes for us when and if you pray and you intercede. The Spirit will join. He'll be there. No matter how weak and how befuddled your petitionary prayer is, how self-centered your petitionary prayer is, how misguided. Listen, this is... Jesus was right on when he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Because doesn't it sometimes feel like, oh boy, doesn't it sometimes feel like Paul's, what he says here, we don't know what to pray. Jesus, God, I am totally overwhelmed here. I don't know what to ask, and I don't know what to pray, and I don't know what your will is, and I don't know where this is going. That's weakness. And it's a great place to be. Because that's when the Spirit joins. He doesn't join your strength. Boy, that's such a hard concept for us, isn't it? How can God use me? I am so weak. I am so befuddled. I've made such a mess of things. God says, that's when I'm joining. The Spirit, in the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness. What weakness, Paul? We don't know what to pray, as we should. But you see, that's a little depressing. Because you can stop there and you can feel like, why bother? But the gladdening portion of that verse goes on. Paul says, wait a minute, but the Spirit himself. What? The Spirit himself. God, the Spirit, intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And then what happens? In this three-person prayer production, the weak ones, the Spirit, and God the Father. And he who searches the hearts. Whose heart is God searching? He's searching my heart when I pray. He's searching your heart. And somehow, some way, the condition of my heart is tied up in all of this, and I don't really understand why or how. But clearly Paul says, and he who searches the hearts, while we're in this weakness of praying, are any of you there? Am I the only one? You got stuff you just don't know what to pray? Well, of course you do, because you don't really know your need as God sees it. And you also don't know what God's will is for that situation. You can't. Paul says, you can't. That's the weakness. And he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mind. So here we have heart and mind involved in prayer. Isn't this fascinating? Heart and mind. It is our heart. And it is the Spirit's mind. And the Father is taking inventory of the two. And he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because he knows that the Spirit is interceding exactly according to his will. This is praying in Jesus' name. You and I have titanic spiritual power, ready, willing, and able to take up your cause. Here's how I've been praying. Spirit, intercede for me. Here's the things. I can't really make a precise request, because by my own admission and by Paul's admonition, I don't know my real need. And I don't know God's will for that. So Spirit, join. Pray for me. How comforting is that to know that the Spirit Himself will do just that. He will come to your stuff and He'll take it up for you. Here's what, remember the word help? You only use one other time? Here's what you're saying to the Spirit. Don't ever think you're on your own to pray, because you're not. And that's what the enemy wants to get you to think. Here's what you're saying to the Spirit, the word help. Sanantilimbanwal. Spirit, take hold of your end of the task. How great. You see, the enemy wants us to keep a hold. The word picture there is two people both taking hold of something, of a task. And when they both take hold of this task, then the thing's going to get done. Like Martha says, have Mary help me by taking hold of her end of the task. And the other, this is the same word used here by Paul. And we come to the Spirit and we say, take hold of your end of the task, Spirit. And He will always do that. Our responsibility in prayer to remain, to receive, and number three, in a weak, befuddled way, ask. The Spirit's responsibility. To make sure our request, no matter how you make them, note well, now listen, no matter how you make that request, no matter your motive, the Spirit intercedes, comes in, intercedes, takes your request and reinterprets it and presents it to the Father in a different way. Yeah? Tracking? Wonderful? Good stuff, Tim. The Spirit grabs my requests, my asks, puts them through His grid, and they come out to the Father exactly according to God's will for that thing that I'm praying about. This is good. It's not up to me. We have to, as God's people, get a hold of the fact that it is the Spirit in all aspects of the Christian life that enables us to prosecute the awesome duties of the Christian life. Make Teresa watch these movies with me. She says, I'm tired of watching war movies. Well, but she's a good sport about it. So last week we watched Von Ryan's Express, Frank Sinatra. It's about a World War II movie where he's a pilot and he's shot down in Germany-occupied Italy. And so he's behind enemy lines. This is how you're going to understand Romans 8:26. Honestly. And so Frank Sinatra, Tad and Tori, you've seen this show with us. So Frank Sinatra, taken as the colonel of the American Air Force to this prison camp in Italy. And he is the ranking officer in the camp, and there's the German commandant, which is really an Italian who has signed on with the Germans, who is the commandant of this camp. Now, they don't speak the same language, Frank Sinatra, Colonel Ryan and the commandant don't speak the same language. So there's an interpreter called Oriani, an interpreter. And Frank Sinatra says he wants to get something through to the commandant about the conditions of the camp and the way he wants things done. Colonel Ryan wants things changed in that camp. And so here's Colonel Ryan here, here's the interpreter, and here's the commandant over here. And so Colonel Ryan makes a request to the commandant through the interpreter. So Colonel Ryan makes an ask. The interpreter then listens. The interpreter then says something to the commandant in this movie. And the commandant comes back and says, gives an answer. And the interpreter tells Colonel Ryan what the commandant said. And Colonel Ryan says, "That's not what I asked for. I asked for something else." But you see, the interpreter said to Colonel Ryan, he says, "Believe me, it's for your own good that I changed your request." You see, he knew the commandant's mind very well, the interpreter. And he knew what was going to click with the commandant. And he knew that the request that Colonel Ryan made was going to actually, if granted, would actually have made things much worse for all the prisoners, including Colonel Ryan. And he says, "Believe me, Colonel, it's for your own good. It's for your best interest that I changed your request. Do you see this?" You see, we come to God, who is, someone says, the way that God would punish us is to give us everything we ask. And so we come to God, like Colonel Ryan, with a request. But the interpreter knew the need of those prisoners much better than Colonel Ryan did. And so he changed what Colonel Ryan said. He changed it and presented it to the commandant. And he knew it would click with the commandant. He knew that what he was asking would be according to the commandant's will. And it was. And it turned out to be better for Colonel Ryan and the prisoners that the interpreter changed his request. That's what Paul's saying here. You always pray in the Spirit, whether you know it or not. If you have the Spirit of the living God in you, if you have the Spirit and you pray, you're Colonel Ryan. You can rest assured that the interpreter is between you and the Father. You always pray in the Spirit. The trick is, and what we're going to get into, is how do we experience it? Every time I pray, every time you pray, you're praying in the Spirit, because the Spirit picks up your groanings, your befuddlement, and tweaks it and fine-tunes it and delivers it to the Father that is simpatico with exactly what God's will is for you. It's like consulting physicians. How about that? You're a patient, a difficult case. And there are two physicians that are consulting back and forth with each other about what to do with this patient to make them get healthy, to make them well. There you are, the Holy Spirit and God the Father, the Spirit of God and the Father of God are consulting together about you and me, the patient, and what is best for us. Because I have an idea what's best for me. And you do too. And here's where you get hung up. You're like Colonel Ryan. I want what I want. And God, this is what it would be best for me in this situation. So change it, fix it. And the Spirit hears that. You know something? That never gets to God. Colonel Ryan's request never got to the commandant. Your request, made from a self-centered, ignorant, weak point, which we are, never gets to God. But the refined request, the request in line with God's will, does get to him. You see this? What's that, Barry?
Clicking.
Good, Barry, good. Now, is this not wonderful? You're praying in the Spirit, but you must pray. The Spirit joins. I did a lot of it this morning. God admitted, Father, admittedly, I don't know what to pray. Oh, Spirit, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to take you at your servant Paul's promise. I want you to join. Spirit, I want you to pray. And therefore, God listens and God responds. Now, here's the risk for you. Praying is a dicey enterprise for us. What do you mean, Tim? I'll tell you what I mean. If you ask for God's intervention, you're going to get it. And it will be God's intervention. Holy Spirit, come along and join by taking hold of your end of the task. And see, our praying becomes like think of a stage and think of an audience, a live theater. And in the audience is God the Father, only one in the audience. And on the stage, we are in the background. We're in the background praying. And there's some kind of noise coming out. You know, God the Father has, well, I know they're praying. And the Spirit walks on the center stage. The Spirit hears us, reinterprets it, and the Spirit then prays to God. And God the Father hears what the Spirit is saying. See, we pray in the background. The Spirit himself prays front and center. Good? Every prayer made by the Holy Spirit concerning your concerns is answered by God. But you see, we don't recognize it because we're like Colonel Ryan. That's not what I asked for. You see? But it was answered. Every prayer that the Holy Spirit makes concerning your concerns is granted and answered by God the Father. Okay, bottom line. Bottom line. Do you have any mess? You got any earthly facts? Why don't we join each other and say this? Let's let Romans 8, 26 and 27 take care of that stuff. And you know what that would do for you? That frees you to then seek first the kingdom. See how this all comes back? I'm going to let the Spirit and the Father ferret this out because I can't. And my distraction, like Martha, watch this, my distraction, like Martha, in trying to take the role of the Holy Spirit in my life stops me from seeking first the kingdom. Because I'm seeking my kingdom. Yeah? It's as if God says to us, I've got that stuff. Now what I want for you is Christ-likeness. What I want for you is to pray on the mountain. What I want for you is to seek first the kingdom. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? He said, don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about tomorrow. He says, the idolaters eagerly seek all those things. The Father will handle it. I'll handle it. The Spirit will handle it. What I want you to do is seek the kingdom. I'm going to let the Father and the Spirit. I'm going to bring it, but then I'm going to let them ferret it out. And if I can rest there, if I can really believe that, if I can live in that spot, I will then pursue the kingdom. God will always listen, and God will always respond. You always pray in the Spirit. Let's pray. Our Lord and Master, I pray your blessing on these words. Intercede for us, Spirit. Amen.